Pleasure to be with you this morning in the house of the Lord. Yesterday, I met with a group of friends to celebrate a reunion. It's been almost 46 years since I graduated from high school here in San Angelo, and a group of us put together a reunion yesterday. Met at the football game Friday night, then for lunch yesterday, and I had a great time seeing some of those people, some of them I hadn't seen in 45, 46 years. But you know, the pleasure is not near as great as the one that we have together here this morning with those of like precious faith to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My topic this morning that was assigned to me was from 2 Peter, the third chapter. And for a text, we're going to read the entire 18 verses there. Actually, my text was just the 9th verse. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to tell you, I could just read you this chapter this morning, and that would be sufficient for the lesson. But we're going to start with that as our opening today. It says, Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water, but the heavens and the earth, which now are preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but his long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, there was a prediction that the world would end yesterday. Didn't come true, did it? Miles and I were going to the football game Friday night, and he quizzed me about that. But, you know, they say the world's going to end tomorrow. Yeah. Don't believe it. Because we've been taught time and time again that there will be no sign given, that it will come as a thief in the night. But does that mean it won't come? Do we live our lives as if the end times will never come? No. That's the lesson here today that Peter writes to these folks. We need to live our lives as if the world was going to end tomorrow, or maybe even today, and be ready and prepared. We're going to study this for a while this morning, but before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. You know, during my granddaddy's time, it was a time of deals being made and people shaking hands and walking off, and you knew that that's the way it was going to be. When a person said something, gave you their word, then you could count on it. They would state it and others believed it. But in today's world, it's what we would call a dog-eat-dog world. And it's all about deceptions. Two of the most popular TV shows that have been on for several years now are what we call reality shows that I can't stand. I watch TV to be entertained, not to live reality. Our Big Brother and Survivor. And it's all about who can lie to who and make them believe it and set up an alliance with somebody and then stab them in the back. And you know, today there are those who have every good intention of fulfilling their promises. They truly expect to do what they say that they're going to do, and they want to repay. They want to show up and do what they said they would do, but they get caught up in the rat race of today's world, and they totally forget these things, and they forget what they said and forgot what they promised that they would do until it's too late. And the time in which they said they would do something has come and gone, and the time to help somebody or to repay somebody, it's too late. So they just forget about it and go on. And you know, both of these instances that I've talked about here, that's a form of slackness. The definition of the word slack means not firm, careless, slow, not active, or letting up. And you know, I'll use this example from sports. I watch a lot of football. Miles is playing junior high football now, and I go to football games and watch. Sure is a lot of slackness on the football field. I talked to Miles last week, and I told him, I said, if you ever get on the field during a kickoff, if the ball's not kicked to you, you've got one job. Let's go knock somebody else down. You don't stand around and watch what the ball carrier's doing And I'm like, well, maybe I ought to go over there. I said, you pick out somebody and go hit them. Because there are 11 men on the field, and generally 10 of them aren't doing anything on the kickoff. And largely it's that way on the play from scrimmage. There's the quarterback and the ball carrier and maybe a pass receiver that's doing something, and there's eight other guys that are standing around doing nothing. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's not the way team sports were designed. You know, many people today, many unbelievers have heard it preached all their lives that God is coming back and his judgment is going to be severe, and yet they are deceived into thinking that just because it hasn't happened, that it's not going to happen. They believe that the Bible's not true because God hadn't come back yet. And they think Jesus is never coming back and judgment's never going to come. And it's impossible to us that know the truth to believe that all this is a lie. God is the way, the truth, and the life. In today's ministry, preachers are not preaching the old hellfire and brimstone sermons that we heard when I was a kid. Repentance is hardly ever preached in the manner of the old-time preacher. There is hardly ever a message about repentance to escape the fiery torments of hell. This is not a message that people want to hear. The crowds today want to hear all about the glories of heaven and the joys of Jesus' coming. But they don't want to hear of any of the bad stuff that might happen if they happen to be lost. The message of repentance and confessing Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our lives, they don't want to hear that. We all have our opinions on this, and that saying he's coming here or there. Just like I said, some people had predicted he was coming yesterday. But we in our biblical knowledge better return back to the message that Jesus preached that said you must be born again. Peter clearly states here in this chapter that the prolonging of his coming is due to the fact that he's long-suffering and that he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all would have time to come to repentance. We need repentance preached more and more in our churches, but true repentance is being preached less and less every day. Here in our text, Peter says, "Be you not ignorant, brethren, to his word or to his promises concerning his coming and judgment to them that are not ready. Be ye not ignorant concerning the long suffering, not wishing for any man to perish, but to have life. For man bases his whole life on time. We live by the clock on the wall. But you know, that's time that we really don't have. Because God knows no time, for he's forever. He's omnipresent. Psalms 90:4 says, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." Revelations 1:8 says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Therefore, nothing is long or short to God because he's everlasting. The world today is taking God's long-suffering and his mercies for granted. They're acting as if there will be no end and that his judgment will never come. They do not expect his coming, even with all the world writing and making movies on the coming of the Lord. They live their life as if death will never come. The end will never appear. Even many older and elderly people act as if they will live forever. They even go out and overextend themselves in financial death toward the end of their life. We don't have a guarantee of any tomorrow or even the next hour. Even though the prediction that the world was going to end yesterday was wrong, it was not impossible. Death could be at our very doorstep tonight. The time of the Lord's appearing, the Bible tells us no man knoweth the hour, for he is coming as a thief in the night. And nobody knows when a thief's going to break in, because if you did, you would be there and stop him. You'd make sure that every door was locked and every window locked. If you had a gun, you'd have it ready to protect yourself if they tried to break in. And yet the world lives so carelessly, so slack, not even the least concerned about the greatest prize possession they could ever have, and that's their salvation. Their lives and their family for eternity are in jeopardy. James 4 and 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." We have no promises of tomorrow or even the next hour. But through the mercies and long sufferings of God, we still have a chance to get right with him today. For today is the day of salvation, the Bible declares. We still have that blessed hope, that blessed assurance, that blessed promise of redemption of our sins. As long as there's still breath in our lungs and God's mercy is still upon this earth, we have a hope of salvation. We have a chance to fully escape the wrath and all the anguish of that judgment. For God is not slack concerning his promises, but long-suffering, not wishing any to perish, but to have everlasting life with him. We hope to live joyfully in the presence where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. To have peace in knowing that this would be our last breath. That we would be in his favor forever, enjoying everlasting life, partaking of the divine nature of the true calling of man. God didn't create man to have him go to hell. God didn't create hell for man. Hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels. But through man's desires of Satan's temptation, I think hell's been expanding itself daily with just enough room for the next soul that comes through the door. I don't think there's any mercy that awaits for men in hell. It will be too late for them. I believe that their minds will always be in torment, remembering the mercy that they could have had, that God bestowed upon them, and yet they rejected. If they had just came and repented of their sins and lived the way they should have been. Ezekiel 18 and 23 says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked shall die, saith the Lord, and not that they should return from his ways and live." God wants us to be saved. He doesn't have any pleasure in those that reject him and are lost forever. For For this very reason, God continues to open up his arms of compassion on men, allowing his grace to abound a little longer. His Holy Spirit calling and drawing lost souls to him, pleading with them over and over again, not wishing that any should perish, but have life and have it more abundantly, and to have it eternally and everlastingly. Jesus is saying in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Satan's telling you the whole time, oh, you can't do that. You can't meet the standards. You're going to try, but you're going to fail. And then you're going to wish you had never tried at all. It's too hard to be a Christian. It's clearly impossible for men to live as a Christian. But I declare unto you today that Satan's a liar and the father of all lies. For sin's too hard for you to continue to live in. Look at your life and look at the scars that sin has left upon you. For living for God is living for the very purpose that we were born. For we were not born to die in sin, but we were born to have life through Christ Jesus. Man was created for the very purpose of worshiping God, to put him first in their lives. Proverbs 13:15 says, "But the way of a transgressor is hard." And in Romans 6:23 it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We don't have to look very hard around us to see that those that are living in sin have a harder life than we do. Yeah, some of them may be blessed with material wealth and things of this, but they have a harder life. Satan's trying to destroy their minds, their families, their lives, and he'll not be happy until he completely batters them with his fun and with his games, laughing the whole time about the eternal torment that he has prepared for you. Jesus came into the world to give you life. Life more abundantly than we've ever experienced it. He's going to stick closer to us than a brother, closer even than our own mother and our father. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I will go with you always, even to the end of the world." These are the sure promises of God. And Peter says he's not slack concerning his promise. In other words, he keeps his promises. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." God's desire for us today is to have everlasting life. He wants to give us life more rewarding and more abundantly than we can even imagine. For us to have peace and happiness in him, to pour out his spiritual blessings upon us, for like a parent here on earth, he wants to bless his children. He is calling out today by his mercy and his grace for us to be adopted into his royal family and partake of his divine nature for man, to be heir and joint heir with Christ Jesus. We need to not let this pass us by without giving our heart to him. Please don't follow the same mistake the world is making today by mistaking his mercy and his grace in thinking that judgment and the torment of hell will not come. For it's real, and all who do not come to repentance will reap the wrath of God. Now, God's faithful to forgive us of our sins and give us a new, complete beginning in Christ Jesus. Psalms 103 and 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." He gives us a chance to be born again unto a new birth into Christ for a complete new life with new goals that we can meet in Him, to have rewards awaiting for new works that you can accomplish. You know, it's worth it just coming to Jesus Christ just to escape the torments of hell. Even if we weren't going to get a reward in heaven, it'd be worth it to come to Jesus Christ just to escape hell. And yet the world rejects that ideal today. And by rejecting that ideal, they're rejecting the reward of heaven. Don't be slack today concerning God's call. Come unto repentance and ask forgiveness of those sins, believing, come and confess His name and be baptized into His church. The lesson is yours today. I hope that some good has come from this short study about God and His slackness . For He's not slack concerning His promises. Those things will come true that have been promised. We offer unto you at this time an invitation as we stand and sing the song of invitation.